You are listening to Right Back Capture, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by Dear Limmy, our in-house SEB stan, David Lim, and me, Joel. Heartbreak didn't make me a dancer, but the pop girlies definitely did. Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. Yeah, I had a few great weeks back home in Melbourne. Had a little slice of summer there, had a little bit of family time, and very happy to have caught up with a few listeners of our podcast and friends. I saw Tom Aspall, and it was the Pop Chops night. It was super fun. It was lovely to see some of our listeners there. And yeah, I feel like JB, honestly, when we're ready for this Right Back At You Down Under tour, come on, Pop Chops. Can we make something happen?
Come on, Pop Chops. Let's go for it. Shall we go for it?
Now, JB, what about you? How was your getaway? You went to Berlin.
I went to Berlin, which feels very SEB kind of style, actually. I can imagine her jetting off to Berlin.
Yeah, from Paris to Berlin.
And every disco within. it was fantastic. Thank you, David. It was so lovely to, especially, the end of the year. It's naturally a time of self-reflection, and just being outside of your usual surroundings also really helped with that. But that aside, it was a wonderful trip. Just took it all in. Also nice to get away from the stresses at Christmas time. I mean, I know you live away from family, so it's wonderful to see them. But just to take a little step out, a little breather, the holiday happy version of that Ben Affleck meme where he stood out the front of the house having a fag.
Having a cig.
it was absolutely fantastic.
Now, did you see any interesting vinyls or CDs while you were out there?
I didn't see one.
Did you look at record stores or anything like that?
We intended to look at record stores, and there just wasn't any time in the diary.
Booked and busy.
I was like panically looking on Discogs to any Berlin shops I could find, see if anything on my want list was in these stores.
Yeah, that rare Sarah Watmore CD single,
exactly.
Promo copy. Need to have it.
I couldn't find any Ellie Campbell locally.
No German edition Ellie Campbell. No Girls Can't Catch promos.
Absolutely not. But David, should we just say, if anyone has been living under a rock or also hasn't listened to our re-released deluxe edition, our girl Sophie is back in prominence at the moment, isn't she?
She is. It's a new year. We've entered a new age without even knowing. It's the Sophessence age.
The Sophessence is upon us. And David Lim, because of the global success of Saltburn and the resurgence of Murder on the Dance Floor from the film leading on to TikTok, trending social media, our Sophie is in the US top 100 for the first time ever.
Absolutely. She just entered the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time ever in 98. And this is at the time of record. Who knows by the time this episode comes out where it will be. But, you know, last week, Murder on a Dance Floor racked up its biggest ever streaming week in the UK, 2.2 million streams. It re-entered the UK charts at number 8. Right now, where we're standing, based on the midweek's predictions, it could land in a top 3. Isn't that crazy?
That is mad. No, that is absolutely
what a time
fantastic.
To be alive.
What a time. It's like 2002 all over again, and it is absolutely brilliant. I am here for the Sophessence. Do you think our Sophie, could she take the Kitchen Disco Tour to America?
I think she could.
America! I mean, at least a gay club tour of the States. I mean, I feel like she's probably already had a hardcore with the Pop Justice US gays, whatever the equivalent is there. But
yeah, the Mew Mew's gays.
But now's the time for the Murder on the Dance Floor US club tour, I think.
Yeah, I think so. If she fancies it, why not? But listen, look, we are picking things off in our Sophie journey on the podcast. I don't want you guys to think that we're just cashing in on the moment, because really, we're not that type of people. We are not opportunistic. Absolutely, whatever.
We are not opportunistic, Spice.
We never even thought about this. Like, no. We were always going to do this the first week of January.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Sophie's always made a scene to us.
We were always going to do this album.
Did she become a priority act on the spreadsheet? I'm not at liberty to say.
Was she, you know, did something trigger us to move this up a few cells on the spreadsheet? Potentially, but who's to say?
Who's to say? Not us.
But listen, guys, if you've been listening to our podcast episode, we did our first Sophie Ellis Bextor episode back in 2021. That was the first two albums. We did Trip the Light Fantastic, I think last year or the year before. So we've actually been holding on to doing this one because I think in our minds, in our, you know, minds of noughties pop lovers, this is really the final Sophie disco pop album of the anthology. We didn't want to squander it, but now feels like the right time, doesn't it, JB?
Oh, it feels like the right time. We've had the glorious Plastic Pop Records releases.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys. There, it is time.
You've got it on vinyl. I've got it on vinyl.
We've all got it on vinyl. It feels like our perfect moment. No, this isn't a Martine episode, but it feels like our perfect moment to be doing this.
Look, JB, shall we do a review? Is that what we're doing at this point?
David Lynn.
I don't know how to do the podcast anymore. It's been so long.
Now, David Lim, before we pick up our Sophie's journey, before she heads on this American tour I'm planning for her this year, please, can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Now, JB, this is left on Apple Podcasts Ireland. Hello, Ireland.
Hello, Ireland. Good to know we've not been geo-blocked from Ireland.
Very good. So it goes, great podcast, 5 stars. I loved the Lost Girl Bands episode. And for Lost Girl Bands Volume 2, I'd like to see The Pipettes, Sirens and Bellfire.
Thank you, baby. Island edition.
Okay. Are these Irish girl groups? Do you know, JB?
I feel like Bellfire are. Shall I quickly check?
We had an Australian girl group called Sirens as well.
Yeah, Bellfire are an Irish girl group.
Oh yeah, Pipettes.
Oh God, I don't know.
The Pipettes.
Girl band.
Where's Louis Walsh in all of this? Is he involved?
The Pipettes. No, the Pipettes are from Brighton.
Oh.
And one more. What was it? Sirens. Girl band. They're from Newcastle, so quite global.
Okay.
And Michelle Heaton was briefly in that band.
No way. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, This is some proper deep cut. Look, this is why we love you guys. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Thanks for being fervent pop fans with all the deep cuts, because we love this kind of stuff.
And thank you for being so brazen as putting requests in the review. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Get involved with the conversation on there. And although we don't take requests, we do listen to what you're saying. And sometimes it helps it get onto the spreadsheet. No promises.
Or move higher up in a spreadsheet.
Move higher up. Right, Davo. So where are we at with Dame Soph?
Listen, guys, I mean, in case you don't already know, our Dame Sophie Ellis Bextor has released 7 studio albums to date. As I was saying, you know, today we're picking up with a 4th studio album, Make a Scene, which I think a lot of us see as a spiritual kind of closer to Sophie's disco pop chapter. She's given us 4 fantastic albums up to this very point. And what happens after this is, you know, our Soph goes on her own musical adventure. The next 3 albums after this, Wanderlust, Familiar and Hannah, also her work with Ed Harcourt. It has more of an indie folk feel. It's slightly more alternative. The last album, Hannah, has a more synth pop, proggy feel. They're all top 20 charting successes in the UK. So even though Sophie left us a little bit from that dance pop world. She's gone on to have great success. But today we are picking things up on a dance floor because that's where our heart is.
It feels like Sophie herself is allegedly picking up things on the dance floor.
Okay, so hubby Richard Jones replied to a fan that was asking for Sophie to come back to disco pop. He tweeted back, "Don't you worry. Sophie's been talking about this way before what's been happening with Murder. Weeks before Saltburn, we've already had CD, which we're guessing Kathy Dennis.
Not Kathy Den.
And RX, Richard X, in our house. Bangers are incoming," says Richard.
Well, all I can hope is that HR, Hannah Robinson, is in the mix too. Our queen.
We need HR. Give HR a call.
Very different between work HR and pop HR. I feel like our Soph in the last few years, her heart's never been far from a disco, even if she's creating other styles of music, kitchen disco, orchestral disco, taking the kitchen disco on tour. It's all these little stepping stones.
She's had a few dance collabs. Hypnotized last year. That was a really cool dance collab. So I feel like Sophie's been slowly edging her way back in.
It feels like where we're about to go to is Heartbreak made her a dancer. But the love of disco.
Saltburn made her a dancer again.
Saltburn and the love of our Soph has made her a dancer again. Right, Davo, let's kick off the journey.
In 2007, look, it seems like she was kind of finding her way and getting back onto the touring circuit. There was meant to be a headline Sophie Ellis Bextor tour, but that was postponed and ultimately scrapped. But never mind, she goes on to support Take That later that year. And I think this is where we're starting to see the real groundswell of Sophie Ellis Bextor live gigs and festival appearances. This is where she really starts to build her repertoire as a live touring act. So really great to see off the back of Take That. 2008, she headlines Manchester Pride. Also on that lineup, by the way, Alphabeat, Dolly Rockers, Al Girlies,
Josui and Dolly,
and Billiam.
Billiam! Brilliant. Get in there, lads.
Love to see that this is sort of, I guess, really where her relationship with the gay community starts to super solidify.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also in 2008, there were talks of recording sessions for a greatest hits collection for our Soph. But very soon after, word got out that, look, the sessions are going so well, they're going full speed ahead to make a fourth studio album. So that greatest hits will have to wait. And in that same year, Sophie uploaded a certain Heartbreak Make Me a Dancer onto her MySpace.
Wow.
Now the fans were shook. And don't worry, guys, we're going to talk about that in due course when we get into the single. But the rest of 2008 actually was a very successful year for brand endorsements for our Soph. She was the face of Rimmel London Cosmetics. The ads featured a new Sophie Ellis Bextor song called Sophia Loren, which she co-wrote with Kathy Dennis. And I remember at the time there was talks that, okay, this was going to be the new Sophie lead single off the album. So ultimately, Sophia Loren wasn't the lead single, but it was really lovely to have that bit of tease around this
tease
time
and taste
in 2008. Yeah. Because he's coming.
Oh my God, I discovered it for this episode and I love it. I am kind of obsessed by it. It feels very different to where the album ended up.
I think it was interesting because we were probably getting flavors of that kind of Blondie-esque new wave, you know, which was teased and was featured in the third album. So maybe she was developing that kind of indie new wave Blondie sound.
Yeah.
You know, so and obviously a character like Sophia Loren, like that is so within Sophie's wheelhouse to create like a character and create something really magical around such an iconic name and figure.
Now, and also listening to it without adult pop ears, you have a prominent, what I can only assume, and anyone out there do correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy Dennis backing vocal.
Oh, really?
Strong on the track. And you're like, there's our Kath. Once you hear it, you're like, that is old Kathy D. Kathy D on the Becky V. Well, David, considering she put it on MySpace in 2008, I wonder if it even said Freemasons on that or if it was just Heartbreak Make Me a Dancer. Were you tuned in at that point on what was uploaded on a MySpace?
Listen, JB, a year before it was officially released as a single, Heartbreak Make Me a Dancer leaked on the internet. That was when I downloaded the early version of it, Sorry Sophie, illegally.
Call 911.
But, you know, we were all in the blogosphere. We were doing naughty things like that. Sorry, Soph.
Very cheeky.
But I remember from my early recollections of that early version versus the final version, the final version had more orchestral strings. Like the strings, the dramatic Bond-style strings were definitely more enhanced. Like that breakdown where the strings build to the chorus, that wasn't there in the original version. Oh. I remember like the bluesy guitar lines were much more pronounced. And Sophie, I'll have you know, I deleted that version once the official version came available because I couldn't find it on my laptop. So I must have replaced it as soon as the CD version came in.
Got to get rid of that. And then June 2009, we finally get the official release of Freemasons featuring Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Heartbreak, Make Me a Dancer.
Now, JB, this is one of the biggest Sophie singles of her career, I feel. Not in terms of like, you know, sales or whatever, but I think by sheer force and pop excellence, this is a classic, isn't it? Like, talk about a classic crying at the disco anthem.
You could call your playlist Crying at the Disco subtitle Heartbreak Make Me a Dancer.
You could call the playlist Heartbreak Make Me a Dancer.
You call that, it's the headline track of it. It is it. If it's the Crying at the Discotheque Festival, this is the headline act. What in the world of pop makes it so it is then Freemasons featuring Sophie Ellis-Bextor instead of a Sophie Ellis-Bextor track produced by the Freemasons?
I remember feeling a little bit confused because I was like, oh, what's going on with Sophie's career that she's not taking this as the lead single, because I'd always intended in my mind that this was Sophie's big comeback lead single. And I think doing it, presenting it as Freemasons featuring Sophie kind of diminished it a little bit for me. And I know that's not the intention because, you know, Fascination had all the great intentions of, look, let's get Sophie embedded back into the dance music world. They flipped it around, license it to Freemasons and be like, look, you release it as a single featuring Sophie. And that kind of was meant to buy a bit of credibility in the dance music world, you know, because remember, it's been quite a while since Sophie was technically in that world.
I mean, Groovejack was 2001 and this is now 2009. So
yeah, it's like time to get Sophie back in the clubs. Let's get her embedded in the dance music world. Who better to do it than Freemasons? Let's try and do it this way. But I think at the time, me as a fan, I saw it as a step back. Mm. What do you think?
I think it's tricky when, as like a young pop fan, like in our teens, you're like, but Sophie's the one I love. Why?
She's the headline. She's it.
But as adults, you see the reasoning behind it. And maybe is it even there's a chance that it's contractual?
You know what? No shade to Freemasons. Look, they worked on it. They wrote that song with Al Soph and Richard Biff Stannard. So all props, all credits due. I was just happy to have it out, I think, by the end of the day. Like once it came out on CD, immediately rushed to buy it. This was like A-list on Joy FM.
A+.
A+ list, like it couldn't get more A-list, this song. This was on so high rotation, I bet we played it every hour on the gay and lesbian radio station. Now, JB, I want to ask you first. Look, what's your first impression of this song?
I don't remember it as a teenager, but I've always known it as a gay man.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you when I first heard it.
Somewhere between you performing at Cuba, those sessions, to you having nights out in heaven, you would have heard this song and it would have been embedded in your psyche since then.
It's a shame I didn't know it really, because I'm guessing I probably would have had my first breakup around this song and I would have made this song my identity.
It would have been the MySpace clip. But you know what? I think actually it's really magical that this song met us in our baby gay youth.
Mm.
I remember seeing the name Freemasons and already knowing who they were because the Freemasons remix of Mesmerized by Faith Evans was so huge. So when it was like Freemasons featuring Al Soph, I was like, oh, perfect.
Perfect.
I know what that's about.
Now, Davo, let's talk about this music video directed by Chris Sweeney. It's got Al Sophie dancing and singing in a futuristic setting surrounded by dancers and special effects. On one hand, you could think it's very minimal. Sophie looking gorgeous with dancers. But these effects that go through the video that will show kind of silhouettes of Sophie or a slightly different move, a different lighting. It's kind of different videos layered and sliced together, like different shots.
It's meant to look like it's just lights crossing the room. But actually, there's a lot of post-production here. I think, yeah, it's a very simple yet very sophisticated music video. I believe this is the first time she's worked with this director, Chris Sweeney, who's worked with Will Young and Marina and the Diamonds, but this is the first of two music videos that they do together.
Whenever you see choreography from this album, and it's going to be a long campaign, it all fits together in the same world, the style of the movement. And it's even just down in the dancers are really going it with kind of the frenetic and angular moves. But then Sophie is so in sync with it. She's not doing their routine. She's doing really small and subtle movements, but in a way that just enhances it all that much more. And when she does the sort of little wiggle,
yes,
with the mic and in time with the dancers, it's absolute perfection. So there were so many performances of this getting it out there. Really interestingly, on the list of club performances and appearances, David, the very first one is at XXL.
Oh, that XXL.
Before you get too excited, at that XXL, I am assuming, and you should never assume, I'm guessing that was a Freemasons appearance. Because there's a few American appearances as well. And I looked it up and it was just Freemasons. Al Soph wasn't there. So I'm guessing the Freemasons lads got behind the decks at XXL.
Got behind
anyone
a few
in the
things,
dark
yeah.
room, get to the dance floor now. Is that a new Sophie song? Got to get down there.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'll stop whatever I'm doing and get off my knees. Yeah.
But not only that, she did perform it at GAY. And also on tele, she performed it on GMTV, the National Lottery, which was its first TV performance, and T4 on the beach. Iconic and infamous.
I remember seeing the T4 performance on YouTube, yes.
All live vocals.
You know, at this point, she was building her repertoire as a live performer, as I said before. So probably was what laid the foundations for the career that she has today.
I would say it's this album that probably cemented her legacy with the gay community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%, especially with this record. So I know a lot of you guys were waiting for us to do this Sophie episode just for this song. So let's get this back on the charts in the Sophisance.
Absolutely. We need a Sophisance top 40, all Sophie tracks. This song, Davo, it was Pop Justice's Song of the Day on the 11th of March, 2009.
Not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. It also was 21 on Digital Spy's top 50 singles of 2009. It was also number 33 on Pop Justice's top 45 singles of 2009. So that is really saying that it is landing.
I thought it would be higher.
sorry.
Bloody hell. Peter Robinson, I thought we were friends.
Okay, this is me giving it to you like we're round up and you're there as the client. Thought it'd be higher. But what it shows is devout and engaged fans, David Lim. Now, in the real life charts, this was a number 5 hit in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number 13 here in the UK, number 2 on the UK dance charts, and number 2 on the UK indie charts. It was number 38 in Ireland, 19 in Finland, 4 in Belgium. In Australia, David, 51, but number 9 on the Australian dance charts. And as
Thank
we know...
Thank you, Joy, 94.9.
I was going to say, and as we know, I'm sure it was number 1 triple platinum on the Joy charts.
This was the first time that Al Soph were feeling things were changing a little bit for her in terms of radio support. Even though it got played on Radio 1, it was being played at really random spot play hours in the night. So it wasn't properly supported. Now, Sophie said in her book, her manager set her down at the time and said, "Now, why do you think that is?" And she goes, "Is it because I'm a mum now?" And he nodded. It just kind of felt like, oh, what a shame and what a waste that you've put all this effort, all this energy into this song, and it's just going to, in her words, sink to the bottom of the pop ocean because, you know, it was no longer Radio 1 worthy.
Yeah, it's such a shame that someone can be working so hard with an incredible output and then things like that are just so out of your control.
Such a shame because this song deserved to be so huge.
But ultimately, Al Soph is still going strong, stronger than ever, one might argue. So it's the longevity, isn't it, that has the last laugh?
So let's move on to August 2009, where Al Soph, Fearless Baxter performed at iTunes London Festival. Not only did Al Soph release an EP on iTunes, obviously, of the live recordings from this set, The Saturdays did it, Marina and the Diamonds did it. At the festival, she performed If I Can't Dance, Take Me Home, Catch You, Groove Jet, and of course, Heartbreak, Make Me a Dancer. But guess what?
Wow.
She did perform another track that wasn't used on the EP.
Really?
And it was the first live performance of a future single slash album track, Starlight.
And do you think at this point, a lot of the album was ready in some form to go?
I do wonder. But yeah, I think it was really interesting that Starlight was performed 2 years before the album's out.
So after that, David, February 2010... another collab from Al Soph.
Can't Fight This Feeling, Junior Caldera featuring Soph Ellis Baxter. Now, I believe this is another track that was actually written, done for Al Soph's album, but perhaps it was flipped around to be a DJ release featuring her again, just to build that dance community credibility, that Ibiza credibility for her again. Very strategic move. Why don't you come?
Had you heard of this guy?
I actually have heard of Junior Caldera. So by the time this popped up, it wasn't completely foreign. He's done some remixes for like Enrique Iglesias. Like, I've seen his name pop up in credits before, but this is the first lead single material I've seen from him.
Interesting. So if this was a Soph track then with a DJ, I think this is the most we have seen Soph as a dance act, like the closest we've seen Soph to a Cascader or a Bass Hunter.
Yeah, but also this was the kind of time of that kind of house European DJ collab with a female vocalist, you know. We're in a post Kelly Rowland, David Guetta, When Love Takes Over place. But again, I did remember thinking, what is happening with Soph's own album? And this is me as a fan scrutinizing at the time. What's going on? Even the single artwork, they were using a picture of Soph from the third album.
I'm not a fan of that cover art at all. this music video, it was shot in Paris. And as you're saying, it's a very different look and feel. It's that glam look that we were seeing from the girlies at that time, that sort of bubblegum pink, that pink lip gloss, bright colours. This was...
It's very high street,
isn't
it? It's
very high street, very top shop.
Sophie does top shop.
Yes, that's exactly it. Now, it is wonderful, though. Sophie looks amazing. It's a bit of an odd video. It shows her and a love interest kind of at various ages. So, like, several actors playing them. And I would say the opening for this is giving me Saturdays. The logo, the opening shots, getting out the car, the red carpet. That is screaming Saturdays to me. The colour palette.
I really like the story, I must admit. You know, a lot of these dance music videos, they really don't cobble together enough of a narrative, but you got this one straight away. You know, it opens with Sophie on a red carpet being papped by paparazzi. She turns around. There's this gorgeous man on the red carpet. They lock eyes and immediately there's some sort of frisson. You know, you feel like they know each other from another life. And it turns out, you know, all these sequences of flashbacks in the music video shows that they were childhood sweethearts that never quite made it happen. And I think it's a cracking pop song. Like, this is such a banger. One of the co-writers, Rosalind Sabina, on Wikipedia says she stopped writing for Madonna in order to finish this song. I would love to know what song she was writing for Madonna.
Sorry, Madge.
I can't finish Revolver right now. You'll have to come
Can
a day
someone
late.
Call Madonna and push the deadline? I need to get this finished for Surfing.
Really A-list song. And it shouldn't be forgotten, but I think it was something very interesting in a way it was presented to us at the time. I think as hardcore Sophie fans like myself, I didn't quite know how to receive it.
If in summer 2009 you had Heartbreak, then in Feb 2010, you're getting another dance collab. These are giving standalone moments. They're not giving an album's coming soon.
It's not giving like a body of work, which we're not used to as Sophie fans. You know, someone who's followed her career from the first album, it's very methodical. It's like, okay, we're lead single, da-da-da, album. And, you know, the photography, the artwork, everything was all very cohesive. And suddenly we're entering a new era with not only Sophie, but pop music and the industry where they're trying to figure out how to market artists like Sophie and other pop acts, that it starts to feel a little bit more fragmented and less coherent. But that's just the way the industry was. I think everyone was just kind of scrambling and figuring out how to make it work.
On the other side of that, it is interesting to see how Sophie getting a moment to be serviced to other markets, because this isn't really a UK or Australia release.
Oh, it was A-list on Joy 94.9, though.
But do you know what I mean? It's very European.
It is European.
She even says in her book about how in Eastern Europe and in those territories, she's sort of getting really popular, gaining a lot of fans,
exactly,
getting a lot of bookings there. On the European Hot 100, this peaked at number 37. In France, this was a number 13 smash. In Latvia, it went in at number 17. Ooh. In Poland, it was a number one on the Polish Airplay Top 100 and the Polish video chart. It was also number two on the Polish Airplay New and number 20 on the Polish Top 50. Queen of Poland.
Eligible for a Polish Grammy. I mean, Song of the Year, Record of the Year.
Could Sophie win Eurovision for Poland?
They need to consider that.
Anyway, so fantastic for Soph.
So wait, this wasn't like an official UK single release? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. In the UK, we didn't have it till November 2010, and that was part of Clubland 18.
And she didn't do it on like Lorraine or any of these shows, did she?
No.
I didn't think she did, because it felt like a very separate European release, which is such a shame, because I think this deserved like such a... This could have been Song of Summer kind of push.
Yeah. Oh, Sophie, you've had a number one in Poland and a top 20 in France, and now you brought it to the UK.
They do love it in Australia. Yes, yes.
Oh, well, I love the LGBTQ community, Sophie. Sophie, I do a show on joy in Australia.
But really, is that Australian summer in Feb? So yeah, do the Mardi Gras, do the prides.
I mean, that would have been a great... You know how Danny had... What was that song in 99? Everlasting Love or...
Everlasting Night.
Everlasting Night. Everlasting Night, Mardi Gras anthem. Like, if Soph had done, like, a special Mardi Gras edition...
It would have been fantastic if it was marketed as the official Mardi Gras theme song, which they used to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, when time travel happens, this will be the segment on News Round. Two gay men in their 30s stormed the Fascination offices today, demanded the release strategy for Sophie Ellis-Bextor has another look at it.
Shall we move on to the next single, which is, to me, the spiritual lead single of the Make a Scene album. So let's get to May 2010 with Bittersweet. I know I shouldn't go, but something makes me crave the heat. Your love is bittersweet. So here I am. The fire in your touch, I always find so hard to be. We know that Heartbreak was technically the lead single of this era, but to me, I do see this as the spiritual lead single of Make a Scene, because if I see a cohesive artwork with a single leading into the album, that signals to me that it's a package. Yeah, it's an era.
I just think it's really interesting, Davo, that Heartbreak did so well. Bittersweet, we've got Sophie working with Freemasons again, with Biff Stannard and with our queen, Hadda Robinson. But this is a Sophie track and not a Freemasons track again.
I think because it didn't, you know, it didn't need to be another kind of big club moment. Like, I think Bittersweet is so elegant in its own way. Like, Sophie could really own this on her own. It didn't feel like a club track, right?
They did have the Freemasons edit as well, though, but that is not...
JB, let me tell you, that Freemasons edit / extended version club remix, that is the definitive version of Bittersweet.
Really?
We need that on streaming, s'il vous plaît.
I do love the re-edit of the music video to work with the remix as well. The remix is fantastic. And it feels like the video goes up another level or really works with that remix. Bittersweet sounds like the Sophie you've known and loved, but in the sound of this album. It feels like the introduction to that.
It is not an immediately obvious song, but I remember the first time I heard it, I was immediately drawn to it because it so clicked with everything I wanted from her.
Yeah.
It's kind of moody. It's got that minor key in a chorus, which is quite bold and interesting because not everyone was doing that in dance music. And I love that it's a little bit more wistful. It's a little bit more restraint. The Guardian gave it 5 stars as their pick of the week, but... Even though it was 5 stars, they kind of compared it to Lady Gaga and Kesha and sort of say, well, you know, if you think that's trashy, this still seems quite elegant, very distinctly British, even if it is a little bit old-fashioned, you know. It's like, it's why can't you just praise a song and just, like, give it its flowers? Mm. Like,
just enjoy it, mate. It's classy.
It is classy, isn't it?
It's like a £20 bottle of wine.
We need this on the reissue. Fascination, if you're listening, we need this on a sticker. It's like a £20 bottle of wine. Premium, darling.
Oh, the headline is classy - smaller writing. It's like a £20 bottle of wine.
I think Sophie will be very pleased with that review.
I'm going to throw in a wild card when we time travel and storm with our suggestions. She's been a national treasure, say, to the gay community, but she's now a national treasure to everyone because of the kitchen discos, because of her podcast, because of her as a person. I'm going to suggest, David, Heartbreak, then a limited run for the rest of the year of a Sophie Ellis-Bextor primetime chat show where the UK, and it's syndicated in Australia, and maybe we can get it in Europe, is getting to know the personality of Sophie again. The Disco Diaries, she'll have guests on. She can do a disco cover. And then in the new year, she launches with Bittersweet.
Oh, wow. Just to kind of reestablish herself with the British public and be like, okay, you know.
I think no one knew. Well, maybe completely. I might be really wrong. But I feel like the Sophie we've got to know and love over the last 5+ years, we didn't always know.
When you listen to her audiobook or read the book, I got a distinct feeling that she really came into her own, possibly after Strictly onwards. Like, that was a real turning point where she became more confident, less self-conscious, and just really went for it. And I think Kitchen Disco was another moment where she really just, you know, opened up herself and really went for it. So there are various points in her career where I think maybe if we look back to Sophie, who she was in 2009, 2010, maybe she wasn't quite ready to do something like that. It's different, isn't it, to where she is now. But we're so happy that she's in national treasure status now.
Absolutely.
And she got through the difficult bits, yeah.
Absolutely. And now we're in a world where you can do a Kitchen Disco, you can do
be a yourself,
podcast,
you can do whatever.
You can be yourself.
Yeah.
So the music video for this, Davo, directed by Chris Sweeney, no relation of Claire as far as I'm aware. And to me, I would say this music video is giving glamorous Perfume or makeup ad, but dead dancey.
You've got that really like kind of light, full of like kind of lens flare kind of video where it's very gorgeous, very glamorous, very ethereal.
White flower petals in slow motion and paint thrown on the dancers.
It's giving movement, it's giving fluidity, it's giving gracefulness, and she's serving face.
And what I love is that we have one look of Sophie in this sort of purple cape thing.
And it's blowing in the wind. Oh.
And it's blowing in the wind. And it's kind of giving a little bit of sexy no, no, no.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, glamorous pop star giving you the wind machine moment. Yeah.
The concept of the video, in essence, is to celebrate the sensual side of the lyric, I suppose. The song is all about love affair, which is completely made your heart rule your head. So I wanted it to feel sensual and just be about lots of textures. So it's got to be a slight sensory overload.
We kind of got this idea of a good Sophie and a bad Sophie. So one of the looks is very natural and stripped back, quite natural makeup. And then the other one is a bit more kind of fierce. And we've had this huge purple dress made that you can blow wind up inside.
And then this is the only B-side that we get this era. It is Sophia Loren with Kathy D that we mentioned earlier in the episode.
Finally is out, yeah. I must say, JB, that picture disc of Bittersweet.
Oh, wow.
How lovely is that single artwork? So it's a black and white picture of Sophie looking like she's captured slow motion while she's mid-jump because the hair is moving up in the air, and you've got the blue paint splatters streaked across the artwork. I absolutely love that image. Like, it's so stunning. Fascination, please reissue that, because I'm not spending that kind of money getting it off fucking Discogs or whatever. Like, the prices are ridiculous, guys. It's
hello
rare.
We need a Record Store Day reissue.
Please.
Come on, please.
Please. Adam, please.
Our Soph did go around the towns and everything on your usual promo routes for this, performing on shows like GMTV, Loose Women, and also at GAY. Two GAY appointments in a very close time. I believe one was also a signing. I love that small period in time where they would do signings at GAY
oh,
as
really?
Well.
Really? Wow. Come early, get your CD signed, and then, yeah, head inside, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I wasn't there to experience it. They did do some signings at GAY Bar. I'm not sure if this one was that or not. So, charts for this track. No Australian chart.
I don't think we got it in Australia, Joel.
Number 3 in Belgium, 6 in Estonia, 3 in Poland, 51 on the European Hot 100, 18 in Slovakia, 35 in Turkey, 14 on the UK club charts, 38 on the UK download charts, and 25 on the UK charts.
That's not really great for the label from their point of view. So I think really bittersweet was the beginning of the end for Sophie's time at Universal.
All wasn't lost, though. This was nominated for the Pop Justice £20 Music Prize, coming in third place. It was also 14 on the Pop Justice Top 45 Singles of 2010. Very quickly, we then get in August 2010, another Sophie single, but we're back with the dance collabs.
Armin van Buuren versus Sophie Ellis Bextor. We're now in a time where it's not featuring, but it's versus.
Fight to the death.
Not giving up on love. JB, I absolutely love this song. Now, this is a brilliant slice of Euroclub sound for our SEB. This is a song actually written by Sophie with the Nervo sisters, who wrote When Love Takes Over with Al Kelly. So I actually think this is a very beautiful, friendly companion track to that. Sophie in this chorus, absolutely stunning. I love the way it's kind of like, it's got that emotional piano line and a builds to this gentle, soaring chorus. I think this song is the perfect, wistful late summer anthem.
Oh, it is that late summer. Oh, I already wish it was late summer and I could just listen to this song on walks. It's just really stunning, and it's the kind of song that just suits Sophie's voice and her aesthetic so well.
This feels more like, even though it's a trance track, it is gentler and it has more atmosphere to it.
Yeah, it's Ibiza Chill Out Lounge.
Yeah, but in a way, I mean, it still builds and has a moment.
And this song premiered on Radio 2 on Dermot O'Leary's show in 2010. Radio 2 is probably a lot different now than it was then. Like, it's such a priority place for all our favourite pop acts. But I wonder if they had just gone hard on the Radio 2 audience with the earlier singles, if it would have helped find an audience.
It was a good transition into that world, because that ends up being the station that supports her for the rest of her career.
David, do you know what my favourite part of this whole song is? And I love the song, but my favourite part of the whole single is the music video.
Oh, that video, oh my God. JB, this was in my pop blogging era, and I actually wrote, I would turn straight for you.
Oh, wow. God, it was such a time. That was like 2010.
We were throwing our sexuality around.
We were all like, she's gorgeous, I would go straight for her, oh my God.
We were throwing it around way too flippantly, but I mean, what I really wanted to say was she was gorgeous. That's all it was. It's the equivalent of today people saying, oh, she's mother. That's mother. She was mothering in this video. Like, that was mother.
She invented mothering in this video.
The Machica Latino nods. I mean, she's at the back of a yacht, hair blowing in the wind, ocean in the background, like that is the look. But you know, it's the chicness of the wing tipped eyeliner that's going across.
Other than their boat, it gives her sort of like posed around the pool, looking on a balcony in really gorgeous summer location, sitting on stairs.
Oh, the
now,
stairs
we all know how much
stunning.
I love stairs.
The stairs
in pop
are stunning because it's architectural. So at a certain time of the day when the sun hits, it's really angular and you get the shadows. And there you've got Sophie's gorgeous, slender body languidly just placed on top of it. And it just looks like a Grazia Vogue Italia shoot. Like,
absolutely.
I have never seen anything more stunning. Like, it blew my mind when I saw this video. Oh, honestly, this is one of my favorite Sophie videos, and she looks so stunning in it. So, work of art. Well done, Sophie Ellis Bextor. Well done, Sophie Mueller. Well done, the stylists and hair and makeup people, because this is truly a masterpiece.
So not only did she perform this at the club where they shot the music video, it is great as well that we're entering this time in the very late 20s, in the very late 2000s and the very early 2010s. There is a video on YouTube of someone at the club filmed on their phone or on a camera of this performance. So you're just getting that performance that we see in the music video, but that more what it was like to be there live feeling. So it's great to have that kind of archive footage out there. We also have our classic performances, Lorraine, the Alan Titchmarsh show. Sophie was out and about plugging this single. And it was also nominated at the 2011 International Dance Awards for Best Commercial Dance Track and Best Trance Track, which it won the award for.
Oh my God, this is an award-winning collaboration. Get it, Soph?
There you go. Oh, hopefully she's got that award in the bathroom. So here in the UK, it didn't chart in our top 100, unfortunately, but it did chart number 27 on the UK dance charts. In America, it charted at number 3 on the US Dance Mix Show Airplay and 36 on the US Dance Electronic Digital Singles.
Okay.
In Ukraine, number 50 in Ukraine Airplay. In Poland, hello Poland.
Number 1 on the Airplay charts.
Number 1 on the Polish Airplay TV charts and number 21 on the Poland Dance Top 50, number 21 in Russia, 8 and 13 in the Netherlands on their two respective charts. Wonders and numbers around the world.
They've had 4 singles technically to embed us into this Sophie era. Unfortunately, Universal felt like there wasn't a way forward with Sophie. They're going to abandon the project. So here we are. And thankfully for her, it seems that she managed to get back all the songs that were intended for the album, and she self-released.
And with all that in mind, like, and I know we're not even at the album yet, but we're so lucky that we got an album.
And we got to actually see what the vision is from Sophie and all the collaborators involved as to what is this whole era.
Absolutely. So April 2011, the album is released in Russia. But before we get to the album and its UK release, June 2011, we have the final single for the album, Starlight. Written by Sophie, Hannah Robinson, and Richard X.
JB, this is a stunning, stunning ethereal electropop track. You know, this Richard X meets Sophie Ellis Bextor orbit. It hasn't happened before.
Wow, they're just people you would always like put hand in hand as collaborators or put them in the same sentence.
But I think it's because it's of this era of pop music and this community, you know, Xenomania.
Yeah.
Richard X, Hannah Robinson, Kathy Dennis, like we just think it's all connected. But yeah, actually it's the first time Richard has come into the orbit of Sophie's discography. And it just makes so much sense because his finesse in this world of electropop and 80s music, you would think it would have happened sooner, but we're so glad that we have Starlight. And as I said before, as early as 2009 was it, where she did the iTunes Festival, she already had this song.
Cinematic, again, very classic Sophie as well.
This kind of sets the mood for a certain part of the album that shows that kind of etherealness and more sophistication, you know. I think Bittersweet, Starlight, that kind of sits together really well, don't you think?
Yeah, V&A goes pop.
I love that.
It was the first release on her independent label, EBGBs, which she set up with her dad, Robin Bextor. And what better way to cement that collaboration by having Robin Bextor direct the music video?
Was it live video, though? Was it a montage?
It was a live video filmed during her concert at O2 Academy, Oxford, and is interwoven with some landscapes of dawn, sunset and night. So, for this track, it charted at number 26 in the UK indie charts and number 50 in the Italian Airplay charts and number 35 in the Italian club charts.
Oh, wow.
She did go out and about performing this on TV. Lorraine This Morning and Style the Nation, hosted by Nick Grimshaw. It's very interesting to think at this moment in time, 2011, where are the shows that you promote this? And then you come across these shows like Style of the Nation, which I'm sure was a very short running show. It's when you start popping up with these unique TV performances. So let's move on. Still in the same calendar month, the UK gets the long awaited, highly anticipated fourth album from Sophie Ellis Bextor.
We have some absolutely amazing and impressive lists of collaborators. Richard X, Kathy Dennis, Calvin Harris, Freemasons, Hannah Robinson, Nervo, Liam Howe of Sneaker Pimps, Joe Mount of Metronomy, Ina Rolston. Yeah, there are like dance bangers, but also like more left of center, electronic, alternative tracks on here. So, you know, I think to call it a dance pop album would do it as a disservice. It's different strands of electronic pop, isn't it?
Yes.
It's very hard to make an album like this where it's like lots of different types of electronic influences.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Winter Gordon. It's very hard to bring it all together. But I think Sophie was kind of a pioneer of this kind of dance album, you know.
So what's interesting is the first half of the album is all the singles, basically. So David Lim, our in-house SEB stan, kick us off with a highlight.
JB, I got to give a shout out to Off and On, the album track that was done by Calvin Harris. Now, this was originally a Japanese bonus track or something by Rasheen Murphy. It's got our Kathy Dennis on it, co-written with Rasheen Murphy and Calvin Harris. The pop gays knew that Rasheen was doing it, but also Sophie has done her version. And also Sophie's version leaked quite early, so it had been in the internet for quite a time. In an interview with Arian Wright, now this is a throwback. Now this is a blogger that was very notable at the time. And he asked her about Sophie's version of Off and On. And Rasheen said, I think it's great. I think it's a lot better than my version, actually. I think it suits her voice better. I think it is more narrative somehow with her singing it. That kind of drive delivery that she does, it doesn't sound like anybody else. She's really made it her own. I think it's great. It's a really good pop song. Kylie had In My Arms, again produced by Calvin Harris, and also Sophie had Off and On. So I really would have loved to see like more push for that song. It was part of the conversation in pop culture.
Yeah, well, it was a single in Russia, David, in April 2011. It was the single the week before the album release in Russia. And she did perform it on UK TV shows. So she gave it a nice push here in the UK. And it was also performed at the GQ Man of the Year Awards 2011 with a swarm of male dancers. Standout for me is Under Your Touch.
Now, JB, this is one of my favourites.
We've got Hannah Robinson, Liam Howe and SEB working together on this track.
JB, what I really love about this is that it represents the side of the album that has the new wave Blondie-esque touch to it. You know, it's hard, it's grinding, but it still has that kind of indie feel to it. You know, you can imagine this being performed at a dirty, grimy moth club kind of gig, right?
She didn't perform at the moth club, but she did have her launch album party at XOYO. Now, I would love to go in a time machine and attend that event. Yeah, come. This invitation, it's only open to you. What you got to lose? If I could be under your touch, nothing would take me away. Cause I've been dreaming you are.
Under Your Touch could have been one of the lead singles of this album. Like, I really felt like it was so immediate in a way that if you liked Catch You from the last album, you're going to gravitate towards Under Your Touch because it's so immediate. It's so racy. That maybe was the push and pull of making the fourth album for our SCB. Like, yes, she was embracing all these new opportunities with the dance collabs, but perhaps her heart and her roots were in indie music and in kind of making alternative music.
And I think ultimately for Sophie, because this had a much longer journey than intended to, it makes sense that she wanted to pause on the disco for a while. What other standouts are there for you, Devo?
JB, I want to give a shout out to Magic. It's a Hannah Robinson, Sophie Ellis Bextor, and Richard X track. This to me, JB, is, dare I say, I think it's actually Sophie's Xanadu moment.
Oh, wow. What a statement. You could see that a music video like that would fit into this album. In that neon galaxy way, blacks, greens, purples, Sophie flying through the sky.
Hopefully you're listening to this now in 2024, having a real reappraisal of it. Give it a push. Tell people about it, because I often think a lot of these album tracks on Make a Scene really do deserve a moment. Now, JB, do you have another one you want to shout out?
It might not be one that you're expecting from me, but along with Off and On, it's the only other track on the album that Sophie wasn't a writer on. Synchronized, stunning mid-tempo moment from our Sophie on this album.
Really? And re-listening for it for this episode? Oh my God, I'm really getting into it. So it's written by the wonderful Inna Rolston, who's written for a lot of the Saturdays tracks, and Fred Ball here as well. But it's so tender and pensive, and this is a beautiful song. Doesn't it feel like this sensation of opening up a music box and listening to the music when you're listening to this? Like, it has a real nostalgic quality to it, doesn't it?
That is beautiful, David Lim. I mean, Plastic Pop Records, where's the limited edition music box? Lay still, I know you are breathing, wired down, and I will focus on the beating. Synchronize our hearts, synchronize our hearts, synchronize them. So we also must just give a shout out to Revolution, the opening track on the album. It was also in early 2012, a Italian-only single. Shout out to our Italian listeners if you remember this one.
Come on, Alberto, do you know about this?
Come on, Alberto. Now, this was written by SEB, Greg Kirsten, and Kathy Dennis. Opens the album, very giving you that you are in for a very sort of strong dance sound with this album.
But also in a really kind of indie grunge kind of way, because I think Revolution has that kind of pounding indie club feel to it that I think if you loved If I Can't Dance from the last album, you're going to pick up that kind of same petulant vibe in Revolution. of course, we as fans always love a self-referential moment. Face to face, it's murder on a dance floor. Cut two to chase, just give us what we came for. Also, JV, I must mention, October 2011, the very first time I saw Sophie Ellis-Bextor live, she came to Melbourne. Now, speaking of this era of time in Make a Scene where she was touring, she was going places that she didn't really tour that much before. She came to Australia. She performed at our big gay club in Melbourne, the Greyhound Hotel. I believe I went with Adam Eve of This Is Disco. I still have, the footage from that digital camera I recorded, uploaded on my YouTube. Now, Jolie B, I didn't record the whole set. I know this because I'm sure she would have done Murder on a Dance Floor, but what I did upload was her doing Heartbreak, Get Over You, Take Me Home, Groove Jet, and Yes Sir, I Can Boogie.
There we go.
What a PA set. I mean, that is the dream club PA set from our SEB. But what an honor. I remember being so excited to finally see Sophie Ellis-Bextor live in Australia.
Now, David Lim, 2022, we got the first four SEB albums on vinyl from Plastic Pop Records, including the bonus track, Dear Jimmy. Now, Davo, this was originally actually released on the Pop Justice compilation in 2006.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, written by Al Sophie with Hannah Robinson again. And yeah, this was always, to me, just living on my laptop. It's such a treat to have it as part of this compilation. But yeah, go on then.
Go on then. Go on then. Go on. Get it on there. But yeah, real fan favourite. It's safe to say, regardless of chart positions and whatever, Sophie really did make a scene with this album in our hearts, and with its longevity and love with the community, the pop community, the queer community. Here in the UK, it went in at number 33 on the UK album charts and number 8 on the UK independent album charts. Considering she's now an independent artist, I think that is very, very respectable in the world of 2011, number 47 on the Scottish album charts and number 12 in Russia. It was certified gold in Russia and was at number 40 in Russia's year-end charts in 2011.
Absolutely fantastic. And also, off the back of this album, Sophie says in her book, it really opened up success for her in the Eastern European market. Thank goodness to the hits of this album, the big dance hits, she was able to have lots of private gigs just to keep her afloat and then really give her space to recalibrate and be like, okay, this is going to be the album I want to make. I want to move away from the dance music world. I want to make a whole album from scratch with one collaborator. It's so funny even listening to her book, and she's talking about the making of pop albums, and they're sort of all like pretty girls in prom dresses lined up against the wall waiting to be picked. You know, that's sort of like, oh, you know, which one's going to be the single? But when she goes into making the albums that she makes with Ed Harcourt, it ends up being more narrative based. It ends up being more deliberate. We needed this moment to catapult her into that, and who knows what we're going to get from her next.
Absolutely. And for whatever it is and whatever Sophie wants to do, I absolutely can't wait. We've had such a pleasure to see Sophie live at the Steps Tour, at Hoopla, at her own show. As long as Sophie wants it, let's continue putting out the vibes for this new disco album, which absolutely can't wait for. But thank you so much for joining us on this journey of Sophie. Can't wait to see what happens next. Let us know what songs you think deserve the Running Up That Hill, Murder on the Dance Floor revival. I'm thinking Billy's Walk of Life.
That could really go on a few things. I can really see that could.
Serious, edgy.
Moment. Yeah.
Cool.
Even like a David Attenborough documentary.
Walk of Life.
Walk of Life. You know me. I love to put that song when I'm on holidays with the family and it's like an Insta story soundtrack.
As you should. It's had the resurgence on Lovely Me's accounts then. All right, guys. You have been listening to Right Back Catcher, the 2000s pop music podcast. Follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Hit that follow and subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review wherever you are listening to this podcast. You can email our hearts rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB and you can follow him at
Lovelimmy.
Until next time, darlings. Bye.